You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the Community Connection SmartCast Microlearning podcast series titled Realizing the Potential of GLP-1 Receptor Agonists in Type 2 Diabetes, Partnering with Patients to Improve Glycemic and Cardiovascular Outcomes, hosted by Med Learning Group. This series is directed towards endocrinologists, family practice physicians, internal medicine physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and other clinicians who provide primary care services, as well as patients with type 2 diabetes. The focus of this podcast series is to highlight the patient voice for healthcare professionals who care for patients with type 2 diabetes. Joining me to share their story today is Karen. Karen is a loving mother and a very proud special education teacher for over 25 years. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
It's an honor for you to be with us today. Let's dive into your story. Can you please speak to how you were first diagnosed with type 2 diabetes?
Well, I was diagnosed in 1995. Diabetes does not run in my family, but obesity does. And I do believe that that was, you know, a big reason of why I got diabetes. I had typical symptoms. I know typical now of thirst, frequent urination. I was irritable, which is kind of not my style. That was probably the biggest thing that people noticed of me being irritable. And I was very lucky at the time, the school that I was teaching in, there was a nurse practitioner, and she was fantastic and a very good friend of mine. And as I talked about how I was feeling, she helped me out by testing my, you know, blood sugar and strongly suggested that I see my primary care physician as soon as possible. That I did. And the routine blood work came back. My A1C was, I think, at the highest 14. And that physician then got me in touch with a great team of endocrinologists. And that's where I started my journey.
Oh, wow. And, you know, it's certainly not easy to receive a diagnosis for any chronic disease, especially when you don't have that family history there. How did you take the news of that diagnosis?
It was very difficult. It was very scary. Again, not having a family history, I really didn't know anything about how to live with diabetes, only very negative things that I may have known from, you know, who knows, movies, TV, commercials, about possibly having kidney failure, dialysis, every worst possible outcome, cardiovascular issues, loss of limbs. So it was really, really scary. And especially not knowing what to do next. I remember, you know, crying a lot and feeling like this was something that I possibly would die from and didn't even know if it might have been very soon. So it was very scary. And it took probably 5 to 6 years for me to really come to terms with it so that I didn't feel so doomed about it, of knowing that this is something that could definitely be lived with and managed. Did not feel that at the time at all.
Absolutely. And all those things you mentioned are certainly true. However, you know, with today and with the right care team and the right mindset, this is certainly something that you can successfully live with and lead a long and healthy life moving forward. So I'm glad that you are now there and you're here with us today. When you were diagnosed initially, what treatments did you start to implement to help control your blood glucose levels?
Well, early in my diagnosis, I was started on 500 milligrams of metformin and definitely a change of diet. I was very compliant with that. I recall getting a lot of diabetic cookbooks and trying a lot of new things, and to the point, almost too compliant, and I was now struggling with low blood sugar. So thankfully, working with my team, we adjusted medications. When I got pregnant in 2002, I had to go off the oral medication and started on insulin. And I do have to say that was a scary moment too. Not ever having been on insulin and thinking this is going to be something that I have to have the rest of my life. And I have been using it since, and it is definitely okay. But that first initial, oh, this is how you inject insulin, it was scary and it took time, you know, to get used to, but it helped wanting to be healthy during my pregnancy. So I had no complications whatsoever, again, due to my great team that I had helping me take care of myself. After I had my daughter, my medication was switched, and I had some side effects again with my team. We worked out the dosage. I felt a little, you know, dizzy and nausea, and my numbers weren't consistent. But again, doses were adjusted, and I got back on being a little bit more steady with how I controlled my blood sugar.
Good. And so after your daughter is born, you were introduced and switched to exenatide, which I don't believe is available anymore. And you felt the nausea for a few months on that as well.
I did. And that, again, was something that we had to adjust. I think after 3 or 4 months, it leveled off. And again, it was part of me taking the right care of myself, of making sure that I had the correct food intake at the right time. And that is all part of that learning curve and this journey of learning of what does work best, you know, for my body and how my body reacts to different medications and food intake, as well as exercise.
Absolutely. I will say that my father himself, diabetes also runs in my family, and my father would take his medication and then not eat. So he dealt with having low blood sugar and high blood sugar and teetering back and forth. So getting the numbers right is certainly not a fun game to play, but once you get it right, it feels really good.
It does. You're right.
And you were actually part of a few clinical trials as well, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I was really honored to participate in a couple of clinical trials. I think they're really important. And I feel like I was helping myself and others. And I appreciate that my team of endocrinologists would always reach out to me and say, hey, are you interested in this? And that it was shared the why behind the clinical trial. So years ago, I was part of the early stages of the continuous glucose monitor. And long before they even had any of the apps that you could just swipe, I was wearing a device in both arms and, you know, keeping track of my blood sugars and then sharing out that data. A neat thing about the next trial that I was involved with was that it was, again, for a continuous glucose monitor, and the data collected was to share out to, you know, insurance companies of why this type of device should be covered for people. That here we have done the study of 6 months off the device and 6 months on to show the improved blood glucose and lifestyle changes that can be made. So that one was kind of hit home for me. And I was very glad to be part of that one to help people be able to afford that kind of life-changing device. I've been using it for about 3 years now.
Oh, wow. And so that certainly helped you make better choices, I would imagine, constantly checking your blood sugar to see how you're doing.
It made such a big difference for me. For instance, when I was traveling overseas with my daughter, it was so easy to, you know, just swipe and go and to know like how exercise affects you. Not to have that late night snack, because you could easily check, you know, oh, but nope, that not a good choice right now. Let's make a better choice. So it's made a difference as far as my exercise routine, my food intake, and my weight loss as well. It's all connected.
Absolutely. Did you happen to see a dietitian or a diabetes educator, either when you were diagnosed or throughout this journey?
I did. Early in my diagnosis, I saw a diabetes educator, as well as a dietitian, and they were indeed very helpful. I'm also very lucky. My older sister is a dietitian, so I always gotten lots of advice from her, as big sisters always do like to give a lot of advice. But you know, being that this is one of her her specialties, it was pretty great. So she lives out of state, but she definitely still keeps in touch with me to make sure I'm staying on track.
Well, good. I'm glad you have her. And today, what medications are you currently taking?
I currently take 1,000 milligrams of metformin twice a day. I also take a once weekly injection of semaglutide and just 6 units of insulin nightly. And that has decreased over time due to my success with, you know, lifestyle changes. And those are the medications that I'm currently taking.
Wonderful. Did you have any side effects when you introduced the semaglutide injection?
No, I did not. And that was, yeah, that was pretty great. I kind of expected the same that I had from, you know, the early injectable that I took years ago, but I haven't had any negative side effects with that at all.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, I think you really got the recipe down right for the lifestyle changes in addition to the medications, and that leads to great success. And overall, would you say your blood sugars are controlled today? You're not seeing that up and down that you used to see before.
No, I'm not. And my team, again, with the endocrinologist and the nurse practitioner that I've seen for years, recently dismissed me to have me graduate to just be seeing my primary care physician, which they were very excited about. But I kind of was sad because this team has been with me for over two decades. But because my blood sugars have been very consistent and my A1C has been very consistent for the past 3 years, I guess it was time to graduate. The other things that I was doing that, you know, made those changes consistently for the past 3 years was I joined a gym. It changed my, you know, my regular exercise. And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons for me being so consistently controlled now.
Well, congratulations on graduating. I know it's a little bittersweet, but I know that your care team is exceptionally proud of you. And while we hope you don't have to see them again, I'm sure they'd be happy to see you.
Oh, they definitely told me that there's always a space here for you, Karen, if you ever need us. And that says something about that team, right? Between the doctors, absolutely, the nurse practitioners, the whole team, they're really fantastic people.
Absolutely. And I'm glad to see that they're working so closely together with your primary care. And that makes a huge difference as well. And did you see any weight loss results starting the new injection?
I did. I'm actually down approximately 35 pounds from when I started that particular injection. And I think mixing that with, again, the commitment to physical exercise and a healthier eating lifestyle has really helped with that.
Absolutely. And how long have you been on the injection?
I believe this particular one that I'm on, I would have to say 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you've been on semaglutide for quite some time.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Well, and it's working. I'm glad you are consistent. And so it's great. I'm very happy and very proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's been interesting on these, you know, the changing medications from going from that medication having to be injected daily to now once a week.
That certainly makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Wonderful. And overall, how would you describe your journey with diabetes, you know, today versus how it was when you were first diagnosed? You know, how is your mental health now versus then?
Well, my mental health is much better today than when I first was diagnosed. And I think I can contribute quite a few things to that of, you know, having a better understanding of this diagnosis, that it doesn't define me. It's just part of me. And I kind of went from fear to acceptance, to really having a long range plan of wanting to be healthy and being here as long as I possibly can. And with that mindset, I think that's what's so different today than from when I was diagnosed, it was more from a place of fear.
Of course. And how do you handle, you know, telling your friends and your colleagues about these lifestyle changes that you have to implement, you know, because when you're surrounded by food, it's such a social thing. And you seem to have really grasped making those lifestyle changes alongside the medication. So how did you really do that?
Mostly, I think it was the first, like I said, few years that I, you know, after my diagnosis, I really didn't share it a lot. It was just something that I just didn't know how people would, you know, take it and feel like, oh, well, you can't have this and you can't have that. And, oh, you'll never eat a cupcake again. And, you know, that did and still occasionally happens, but I do have a cupcake now and again. It's a matter of choices, right? So I think discussing and not being embarrassed about it and discussing it with my inner circle, and even it's important to share it with people that I work with so that they do understand if there was a medical emergency, it's important to share that information. And I just think that I got one of the best motivations that I had years ago, there was, I'm a teacher, and there was a 10-year-old student at my building that had type 1 diabetes. And at that time, I really was not making choices. Maybe I was having two cupcakes and shouldn't have had those at all. But here's this young lady, 10 years old, you know, at a school surrounded by the birthday parties and, you know, this holiday and that holiday. And she was so brave and came in every day and, you know, checked her blood sugar, administered insulin on her own. And just seeing her was a really big motivator for me. Here, this, you know, young person is doing that, and I'm fussing over, you know, not following my plan or, you know, being, you know, salty about it. And it was pretty great that I saw her do that. And it really helped me at that time really get back on track to stick to the plan, if you will.
Right. I imagine, you know, at 10 years old and even younger, to be able to accept that, you know, if she can do it, we can do it.
Absolutely.
And it takes time. It takes time to get there. Absolutely. And, you know, we're all going to have those days where we want two cupcakes and we might have two, but forgiveness is important and getting back on track is important. And how you get there is really the driver.
It is. And I think it's very important to, you know, accept myself and to forgive myself and to move on. And knowing that, you know, every day is a new day to make the right choices. And again, that long range plan of wanting to be here as long as I possibly can.
Of course, you have kids that need you and many, many students that need you. So Karen, thank you again so much for joining us today and sharing your journey with diabetes.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to our grant supporter, Novo Nordisk, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity.